Good morning. It's always a pleasure to dig into God's Word with you. So let me invite you to turn in God's Word to the verses that we just sang from Psalm 119. And that would be verses 49 through 52. I've been preaching through Psalm 119 at my church, and I found it to be very edifying, convicting. And I hope to share that with you on occasion when I have a chance to preach in chapel. Today we'll read verses 49 through 56. Our focus will be more narrow than that, of course. But we'll begin by reading these several verses. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. I realize you have the ESV version in front of you, but the New King James, I think, is a better translation of this passage. And I will let you know why in just a moment. But Psalm 119, verses 49 through 56. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, and yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I keep your precepts. Our faith is a historical faith. And what I mean by that is that it is built upon the ancient promises of God that go all the way back to our father Abraham and the patriarchs, even before him, to the Garden of Eden. The covenant of grace, the promises of God were established from of old, from the beginning of our world. And God's faithfulness throughout time to his own word has been proven time and again throughout history. The reality and the certainty of the covenant promises of God have withstood the long test of time. Therefore, history and memory play a very important part of our faith. Very often, Scripture exhorts us to remember the words and the works of God in the past, so that we might have comfort in the present and hope for the future. And God himself, for his part, he promises to remember his promises that he has made to us. And so because our faith is such a historical faith, memory plays a big part in sustaining and reassuring our faith in the present. Now, this particular theme is ripe to be emphasized here in the seventh stanza of Psalm 119. Now, you know that Psalm 119 is an acrostic, and that is to say that each stanza consisting of eight verses, all the verses of each stanza begin with successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So the first eight verses of the psalm begin with Aleph, the second eight begin with Bet, and so on. When we come to this stanza, all of the verses in this stanza, verses 49 through 56, begin with the Hebrew letter Zion, which is also the Hebrew letter that begins the word, the verb to remember, and that is the verb zakar in Hebrew, to remember. And so the verb to remember and the idea of remembrance pops up several times in this stanza. It pops up in verse 49, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. It pops up in verse 52, which the ESV does not translate it as remember. It should be translated as remember. It should say, I remember your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Same verb there, zakar, to remember. And it also pops up in verse 55. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. Well, this morning in our brief time, we're going to limit our focus here mainly to verses 49 and 52. In verse 49, the psalmist asks God to remember his word. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. And then in verse 52, the psalmist talks about his own commitment to remember God's word. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. So we're going to talk about God's memory and our memory. We're going to talk about the role of God's memory in the covenant relationship and the role of our memory in the covenant relationship, and why it is so important that God remember his word and we remember his word. So let's focus in here first on verse 49. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. Now, the psalmist doesn't say, please don't forget your word. He says, remember your word. There's a very important distinction between forgetting and not remembering. Now, in the Bible, obviously, God can't forget anything. That's not what the psalmist is saying. He's not worried that God's going to forget, that his covenant promise is going to slip his mind. God doesn't forget anything, right? He has perfect knowledge that is constantly and perfectly sustained. So God doesn't forget. He can not remember things. He promises to not remember our sins. And to not remember something is a conscious act by which you take something and put it out of mind and choose to not charge it to someone's account. God can and does do that. Thank God he does that. But he can't forget anything. Now, with you and I, it's the opposite. We forget things all the time. I forget. My wife wonders if I can remember anything, right? So we forget things. That's a function of just being fallible. You forget things. And conversely, it's hard for us to not remember things, right? Whenever somebody wrongs us, and we know that our duty is to forgive and to not remember that sin, that is to say, put it out of mind and not charge it to that person's account, but sometimes we struggle to do that, don't we? So it's the opposite case with us as it is with God. But all that to say that God never forgets anything. So when the petition is, remember your word, the danger is not of God forgetting. When the psalmist prays for God to remember his word, he is petitioning God to act upon the basis of his historical covenant promise. He is praying for God to act as God always has throughout history, upon the basis of his ancient word, to act graciously as he has promised his people that he would. Now, there are some wonderful examples in Scripture of God remembering things, remembering his covenant, remembering his people, remembering his word. And when it says that, that God remembers something, it means he acts upon the basis of his promises. Let me take you to a few wonderful examples. We could spend all morning, really, in examples. But let me just take you to Genesis 8. And you can just listen as I read, or you can turn there if you like. Genesis 8, right after the flood, of course, Noah's in the boat. The rest of the world is destroyed. Genesis 8, verse 1 begins, then God remembered Noah. He remembered him. It's not that he forgot him for a moment and then said, I remember Noah. No, he remembered the promise he made to him and he acted on the basis of that promise. In Genesis 9, the same thing. When he promises Noah that he will not destroy the world and puts the rainbow in the cloud as a sign of that promise, listen to what he says. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living thing. The rainbow, the sign of the covenant, prompts God's memory. Not that he needs reminding, but it prompts him. And he's pleased to be prompted to act on the basis of his covenant promises. And all over Scripture, I'll just give you one more example, basically, from Exodus chapter 2. Again, this is, do a search on the word remember. It's really a fascinating thing to see how many times God, we find him remembering in the Scriptures. Exodus 2. Verse 24, the children of Israel in Egypt, they're under the slavery of Pharaoh. Verse 24, so God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God remembered his word and then acted on the basis of that word. So when God remembers, he fulfills his promise, he keeps his covenant, and he acts graciously toward his people. So praise God that he cannot forget, because our salvation depends on his perfect, gracious memory. I'd like to point out also how so many of the great prayers of the Bible are centered upon this one petition to God. Remember. Let me give you two examples of that too. Exodus 32, right in the middle of the golden calf incident, right? The people of God had just engaged in idolatry. God is angry with them. He's about to destroy them. Moses steps up to intercede. And what does Moses say? What's his petition to God? Exodus 32, verse 13. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. Remember what you said. Remember the promise you made. Let me take you to one more passage, which is undoubtedly one of the greatest prayers of the whole Bible. Nehemiah chapter 1. You know that great prayer that Nehemiah prays when he hears the news about the state of his homeland and Jerusalem and how he pours out his soul to God? There's one petition around which his whole prayer revolves, and it is this. Nehemiah 1, verse 8. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast to the furthest parts of heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen. Remember. Remember your promise. Now, when Moses, when Nehemiah, when the psalmist in Psalm 119 call upon God to remember his word, they know that he doesn't forget. They know that he will act graciously on the basis of his own promises as he always has. And so this becomes one of the most powerful prayers in all of Scripture. Remember. And friends, this one petition should fill our prayers, our prayers. We should always pray to God to remember his word. Our salvation utterly depends on our sovereign God remembering his covenant. And as long as he remembers, our salvation is sure. No matter what struggles you may face in life, no matter what anxieties or uncertainties that may arise in your hearts, that may cause you for a time or a season or even for a moment to forget God's word, it is enough. It is more than enough if only God would remember, if he remembers his word. This is our hope, and this is a sure hope. Because God does not forget. You probably had the experience in your life at some point of relying upon someone else's memory for something important. You know, you say to someone, this thing has to get done, X, Y, and Z, please don't forget. You know, just go do this, don't forget. Here's what needs to be done. I said, don't forget, I'll do it. You turn around and you think, oh, that person's going to forget, you know. And they do forget, and you're in a pickle because of something that needed to be done, and somebody forgot. We've all had the experience of relying on the faulty memory of man, our own and others. And we know how uncertain it can be, right? How tenuous it can be. Our memories are that fragile, aren't they? And the older you get, the more fragile they become, right? But when men will often fail us, God will never fail. Our salvation depends on his sovereign, gracious, infallible memory. And he will never forget those promises. That's why this one petition, I think, says it all. And in a prayer like this in Nehemiah, all he had to pray was, God, remember. And that said everything, didn't it? Just remember your covenant promise. And that was enough. If only the Lord would remember that promise, the grace that he has pledged to us, as we know he surely will, then we have nothing to fear. And praying this prayer reminds us that our salvation depends utterly upon his faithfulness to his promises. And that's why that one prayer, I think, summarizes everything. If God will only remember his covenant, his word to his servants, then we are well prayed for. Now let's turn to the place of our memory in the life of faith. Verse 52 of Psalm 119, the psalmist gives expression to this. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Now, when the psalmist talks about remembering God's word, he's not just talking about recollection. He's not just talking about the opposite of forgetting. This verb, zakar, is a very dynamic verb, right? Not just the antonym of forgetfulness, but what he's talking about when he talks about remembering God's word, he is talking about an act of faith. In the Bible, remembering God's word means two things, basically. When we remember God's word, it means two things. First of all, that we believe it, and secondly, that we keep it or obey it. That's what it means to remember God's word. Let me demonstrate that to you a little bit. How this verb, zakar, to remember, means to believe or to trust in something. All right? Let me quote another psalm for you. Psalm 22, verse 27 says, "All ends of earth will remember and turn to the Lord." What, they forgot and they suddenly remembered and they turned to the Lord? What does remember mean in that context? It's a synonym for faith, isn't it? They remember and they turn to the Lord. How about this one? 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. The apostle says, "Remember Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel." Remember him. Doesn't mean don't forget him. It means believe in him, doesn't it? It's a synonym for faith. And how about the Lord's Supper? Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." It doesn't mean just don't forget me. What does it mean? That you proclaim his death until he comes, right? It's a proclamation of faith. To remember the Lord Jesus Christ is to believe in him and to proclaim him. That's how you remember him, right? So in Psalm 119, verse 52, when the psalmist says, "I remember your word," he means, "I believe it, I trust it." Consider also how remember means to keep it or to obey it. Think about this. It's used this way many times in the Old Testament, but let me just give you one of the sort of parade examples that should come right to your mind. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That doesn't mean just, oh, don't forget there's 7 days in the week. Okay, I won't forget that. 7 days, I'll remember that. No, to remember the Sabbath day means what? To keep it holy, right? You remember it by keeping it holy. That's what it means to remember, to keep it, to sanctify it. In many instances in the prophets, especially Hosea and Ezekiel, the prophets will talk about how Israel had forgotten God's word. And again, it doesn't mean they just failed to recollect it. It means they had disobeyed it. They broke it. They turned their backs on it consciously. So in Psalm 119, in our verse, when the psalmist says, "I remember your word," he means, "I will keep it. I will obey it." So to remember God's word only starts with recollection. But it does start there, right? We do have to be in God's word. We have to lay it up in our hearts. We have to know it. We have to return to it again and again in our minds so that we can recall God's word. That's part of it. But to remember is an act of faith. To remember it, to truly remember it, we have to, number one, believe it to be true with all of our hearts. Don't distrust it, but believe it. But secondly, we must truly seek to obey it and keep it by the grace of God. Doing those things is how we remember God's word. If our commitment is anything less than that, then it can be rightly said that we have forgotten God's word. To forget it is not just to have it slip from our minds. To forget it is to distrust it or to disobey it. But our calling is to remember it with trustful obedience. Now, let's be honest, if this is the case, then we must confess that there have been many times in our lives when we have forgotten God's word. According to this definition of remembering, we have forgotten God's word. We have at times willingly entertained doubts. We have at times willfully disobeyed. But our great hope and assurance is that God has remembered his word, that he has remembered his promise to provide us a Savior. And in connection with that, in Luke chapter 1, in the prophecy of Zechariah, just before the birth of Christ, in Luke chapter 1, verse 72, Zechariah said that God was, quote, performing the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. You see, Jesus Christ came because God remembered his promise. And now, because God has remembered his word and because God has provided us a Savior, he has remembered his word and provided that Savior, our response of faith is to also be to remember his word, to believe it and to obey it. And so to remember God's word ultimately is to believe in and obey the incarnate word of God, Jesus Christ. It is he who embodies the promise of God. It is he who embodies the remembrance of God. It is he who embodies the fact that God has remembered his promise to us. And he is the promise that God has made to us. And God has remembered his word. So let us, by the grace of God, be resolved to remember God's word, to believe it and to obey it. And in conclusion, look here of what the end result will be in our lives when we remember God's word, according to this definition, that God will add comfort to his grace. Look again at verse 52. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and I have comforted myself. So the point here is that when God remembers his word, we are saved. When we remember his word, we are comforted. So remember God's word and take great comfort that God never forgets. Let's pray. Father, we do call upon you, our gracious Heavenly Father, to remember your covenant and your mercies from of old. And Father, we know that you will indeed remember your word to your servants. And we take great comfort and rejoice in this fact. Our salvation depends on it. And so, Father, we know that all will be well. Our salvation will be secure if you, O Lord, will simply remember. Remember the word that you have given to your servants and continue to act upon that gracious promise as you always have throughout history. Help us, Lord God, by the grace given to us and by your Holy Spirit at work within us to remember your word, to believe it, to trust it, and to obey it. And we pray.